This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo
in the building. Let's just jump right into it. What did you think yesterday of the stuff that Jeff Bagwell had to say?
I actually came off, and we talked about him, I think it was last week or the week before, just the way that he sees the game. It's not necessarily the way that I would see it, but in listening him to talk yesterday, he's a little more aligned with how I see things than I thought. And you read the story that ESPN had about him criticizing.
He got you with the pitching comment, didn't he? He got you with the pitching comment, didn't he?
That's what I Because he's right. And, you know, the ESPN story said that he was criticizing the way the Astros develop players. And in essence, I think he was, but he was only criticizing one aspect of it, and that's the hitting side. Mm-hmm. And that's a common theme that you hear from a lot of former players, is that hitters are being developed incorrectly. Dusty Baker has said the same thing, that he doesn't like the way that hitters are being developed. They're just giving them too much information at this point. And I think you can do that at the big league level, but when you're doing it at the minor league level, these guys just they aren't ready to process all the information that you're giving them, so they don't really know what's important, what's not. And while they're trying to process all this information, just their approach at the plate is bad. And I think that's a big reason why you see so many strikeouts right now. So Jeff Bagwell said yesterday, I believe when it comes to pitching, mm-hmm. I believe in analytics. I believe that it's helped. You just look at how the Astros have been able to identify, find, develop pitchers, and then when they get big leaguers, they're able to get big leaguers better once they arrive with the Astros. So he's a big believer with that, not so much with the hitting side. And I don't necessarily disagree with that a mm-hmm. lot. So I don't know Jeff Bagwell. I really have never spoken to him. I think you covered him, so you know him.
I know him very well.
He's a smart guy.
Captivating.
Yeah, he talked for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said a lot.
He was incredibly
engaging.
Did he
not sound like he was the guy in charge?
He spoke as a GM.
Yeah.
And I came off just impressed by him, what he had to say. I don't necessarily agree with some of the decisions that they're making right now, but mm-hmm. that's okay. But at least they have a process right now.
What decisions?
Montero was an overpay.
Okay,
and
I agree with that.
And I think Abreu was a bit of an overpay as well.
Oh, come on.
And Listen, on one hand, you are overpaying for a first baseman who will be 36 when spring training starts, and mm-hmm. who the numbers say is declining a little bit. It's not a premium position, so there are other ways that you can fill that spot. But on the other hand, this team is so good, they really have no other holes. So if you're going to overpay, then go ahead and overpay. It's going to give you a better chance to win the World Series next year. So
you're talking about Abreu.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you want to if Jim Crane wants to go out and spend all the money, then go ahead and do it.
But they have it because they're not going to have Verlander. And so that's what
– Brantley.
Or Brantley.
That's a sunk cost.
So it actually makes me feel a little more – positive about some of those decisions, and I think you talk about win now mode.
That's what this is.
They are in absolute win now mode.
You look at the two contracts.
Yeah.
With Montero and Abreu, they're 3-year contracts, and it kind of lines up when Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier, Kyle Tucker, once all those guys are kind of due to hit free agency, so when their salaries would take a big jump, assuming they remain in the organization. Now the two questions that they have. Jose Altuve has 2 years left on his contract. Mm-hmm. Alex Bregman has 2 years left on his contract. Where do those two guys fit moving forward?
Do you think this is, because I think there's been examples, and it's a much more extreme example, but just hear me out on this. I believe that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby didn't really respect what went into being a general manager. I don't think they respected it. I think they thought it was simple. I think I heard Seth talking about this earlier this morning. Do you think that's the same case with Jeff Bagwell, or you think this is just where he wants to kind of give his feedback? And like, they're not going to completely wipe away the tasks, the important tasks that you always talk about that go into being a general manager.
I think he wants to give feedback. And it's interesting because I was thinking about this too. When it came to O'Brien and Easterby, they were trying to consolidate power to advance themselves.
Correct.
They were doing it to advance themselves. Bagwell cares about the organization.
Yeah.
Bagwell's
man,
doing
that's
it.
A great point.
That's excellent.
Can you say that again
so we can get it clean? Let's no, I'm just kidding.
Bagwell, he doesn't want to be the GM. And when he says that, I think that's accurate. I think that's true. He doesn't want to be the GM, but he cares about the organization, and he wants to see the organization thrive. And I think he believes that with his input, they are best in that he can get them in that direction and keep them in that direction.
And he's got a resume. He's got the knowledge. This isn't like, oh, you know, like an Easter beat. No, are you kidding me?
But there are plenty of players who have the resumes and they are given those jobs.
But
and
also
they
the knowledge.
Flop.
And he's put in the work. He said he also said you were there. You know, he's made himself watch more of these guys individually. Made himself watch more of the games. And the nuance, and I know that word is thrown around a lot because people like to sound smart. Yeah, like I said, people like to sound smart. But it's legitimate in this one. There's a lot of nuance to what he is doing as a de facto GM.
I think having him do TV the last couple of years, and he's done radio as well, I think that's helped him a lot. I do think that's kept him around the team a little bit more, and he was around really throughout the entire postseason. When you look at Biggio and Bagwell, Biggio's been the one who's been much more visible around the team. He's almost there maybe every single day, and he's in the clubhouse a lot. You don't necessarily see Bagwell as much, but obviously he's talking to Jim Crane, and he has been in Jim Crane's ear quite a bit over the last year, and you can tell that he understands, you know, the game. He understands the direction that it's going, and I think he understands the type of player that he wants. You know, he has a player that he wants, and I think he probably sees a lot of Jose Abreu in himself.
What's the dangers of, like, going down this direction? Like, where could it potentially be bad? Because I was talking with the OG about it, and I was like, clearly Jeff Bagwell has power. Like, what he says matters. Like, I'm not saying that it's the end-all be-all, but clearly what he says matters. Where could that be a problem? I said, like, if 4 years ago, let's say the Astros needed, were a whatever position away, old school Bagwell guys a lot of times seem like they can be the guys that'll be like, we don't need this Kyle Tucker guy. He's not helping us right now. We need guys who can help us right now. We don't need this Framber Valdez, low A type of guy. He's not going to be making decisions like that, is he?
I wouldn't think so, but it's just a matter of, are they going to listen to all the R&D guys, all the research and development guys? Development guys? Are they going to hire those types of people? Are they going to put them in positions of power and really elevate their voices so that you're, because one thing that made the Astros, one reason why the Astros are in this position to begin with is because they were ahead of the entire game on a lot of different things. So the league catches up to you at some point, but are you still advancing everything forward to where you are trying to remain ahead? Because you look at like Oakland with the Billy Bean stuff and the Moneyball. They were ahead of the entire league on that. The league caught up and it took a while for the A's to adjust and find some other edge. So the whole thing is about finding edges. You don't want to be doing the exact same things that everybody else is doing, because when you're doing that, you're just falling behind.
I could be dead wrong on this, and you'll call me out on it.
Yeah,
I just
you're
can't.
Wrong.
I just can't see another organization that has a better relationship with Latin America and a better, you know, developmental program, if you will.
Braves.
With Latin America, maybe.
I mean, a lot are doing it. Yeah, they all do.
They all do it. But the Astros, the success rate that they hit on and their relationship with Cuba in particular, it just seems to be next level. So I think that's kind of one of those things where Bagwell and or Ausmus, and we'll get to that if he comes in, y'all go do that. Just let us know what you think. Well, you know, they'll make the ultimate decision, but let them do the work.
The Latin, you know, Venezuela was a big hotbed for them.
At first,
But the whole league caught up to that.
Yeah.
And now you look, basically, I think, as far as I know, every team has an academy in the Dominican at this point. They don't really in Venezuela just because of the political climate there. It's changed and, you know, it's not quite what it was. But everyone's got an academy in the Dominican. Everyone has, you know, ties to the Dominican. You know, you have some teams that are out. They have people in Asia and Australia, and they're looking for players that way. But what the Astros have done really well with it's not necessarily signing the big ticket guys out of Latin America.
Exactly.
It's signing the older guys out of Latin America.
Guys.
It's the Framber Valdez signing when he's older. It's Jose Urquidy signing when he's older out of Mexico. Same thing with Christian Javier. These weren't the 16-year-olds that you're reading about in Baseball America who are getting $5 million to sign. No, these are guys who are getting, you know, five-figure contracts. That's where their edge has been, and that they've been able to identify and develop those guys. And again, you know, Jeff Bagwell said,
and he'll let him do that. Let him go.
Yeah, he's gonna. It seems like he's just gonna leave the pitching alone, and they're gonna develop. They're gonna keep developing pitchers the way that they have. I think the big change might be with how they develop hitters at this point.
Adam Spillane with us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's switch gears. You threw this out over the weekend. It generated a lot of conversation. A hypothetical. We all hope the Texans get a quarterback sometime. Bryce Young seems to be a name that a lot of people are intrigued by. You threw out the possibility of maybe Bryce Young not necessarily ending up a Houston Texan.
I mean, it's happened before where a player either goes back to school or he just says, don't draft me because I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. It happened with John Elway. John Elway told the Colts, don't draft me. I'm not going to sign there. I'll go play baseball. And he held true, and they wound up trading him to Denver. Eli Manning told the Chargers, don't draft me. Yeah. If you draft me, you better trade me. And they traded him. And then you even go to Peyton. Peyton Manning, he didn't say this, but Peyton Manning could have gone to the Jets. He would have gone number one to the Jets in 97. And he decided to go back to Tennessee for another year. So if your organization is a complete dumpster.
And that was pre-NIL.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well. Like, that was very, like, well, big time, though. But, like, yeah. I mean, the dude's on Dr. Pepper commercials.
Yeah.
In Alabama uniform.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's going to do this. And my guess is that he would go number one and he would be drafted by the Texans and he would sign with a big smile on his face.
No. Yeah.
But if your organization is as bad as it appears from the outside, and that's what the entire talk is around the NFL. You know, if you're drafted number one, the key to your future earnings is going to an organization that actually knows what it's doing, and it's going to put you in a position to succeed. Because it's not about the first contract. Everybody talks about the $40 million guarantee that you get at number one. It's not about that. It's about the second contract and the third contract and the fourth contract after that. Because somebody like Aaron Rodgers goes 24th to the Packers in 2004, 2005, whenever it was, and he signed. There was talk that he was going to go number one. Alex Smith went number one, and his career toiled for a long time.
Yeah.
Rodgers goes 24. He signs a five-year deal for $7
million. Those contracts
are
a little different then. They're a little different then.
He signed 5 years for $7 million, and he's going to wind up, whenever his career ends, he's going to wind up making more than
$180. I don't know what it is.
$400 million is what he's going to wind up making because he went to a good situation where he was able to thrive and improve and get better. So much of what your career looks like is where you get drafted to. And if you're a player and if you're an agent and you see what's going on here and it looks as bad as it appears, you don't want your client to go to that type of a team.
That was my concern with the Easterby. Like, if Easterby were still here, I was concerned. I do think C.J. Stroud might be that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Mulugeta and them are like with Caserio, because Mulugeta is going to have C.J. Stroud. He's going to have Bijan Robinson. I don't know what it's going to be like. I think they have a decent relationship, but I did wonder like what the element would have been, especially if Easterby were still here. I think it's an excellent point. I mean, how much do you think he's making in Alabama?
It's seven figures.
I think I saw it was like between 3 and 5.
Yeah.
And
next year, if he goes back,
but he could also just say, "You can draft me. Go ahead and draft me. I'm not signing."
Yeah.
So there's always that option too. Now, if the that might not be a bad thing for the Texans, but again, this is when your organization, and I know the number one team, the team that picks number one, the team is always bad, but it feels different here. And maybe it's because we're too close to it and we know it a little too well, but this is what happens when your organization is bad. And it just seems like everything that has come out of the Texans in the last 4 years has been negative.
But and here's the counterpoint, and I've mentioned this. You do cut bait with Lovie Smith. Nick Caserio, even though he's shown a few signs of being a little bit prone to his own dysfunction, is relatively normal, has a great resume, comes from a great program, grew up in football, et cetera, et cetera. If you do change Lovie Smith, offensive staff, defensive staff, everything, all of a sudden, this is a very attractive job.
I would think.
Yeah.
But the last two coaching searches have not exactly gone great, where you wind up with David Culley a couple years ago. And then at some point, we got to talk about the Lovie search, because they interviewed multiple people twice for the job. And then all of a sudden they decide, hey, you know what? We're going to interview Lovie Smith and then we're going to hire Lovie Smith. So the whole process with how that hire went down last winter was very strange, and it continues to look worse.
But I think it looks good. I'm fine with Lovie for this year. For this fine with it. Yeah. Like, but next year it would look weird. And I wonder if he's handcuffed. That's my concern is Nick Caserio handcuffed? The last 2 years, you had the Deshaun Watson lawsuit. You didn't have first or second round pick 2 years ago. You got all this dead cap now. You don't have that this year. So I wonder, like, I hope they're not handcuffed in this search. I'm fine with Lovie for then. I also think Nick Caserio needs to be proactively evaluated, and you got to figure out, is he like Lovie Smith? Is he the Sashi Brown? The Cleveland Browns had Sashi Brown, GM, 2 years. Bye-bye. John Dorsey, come here, 3 years. John Dorsey, you kind of bounce out the old-school meathead with the analytics. Boom. And then you hire Andrew Berry, and you bring in Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. win your first playoff game in like 2 decades.
Yeah, to me, it kind of feels like Caserio might have a little too much power, and maybe you bring in somebody else just to kind of counterbalance that a little bit. I don't know if that would actually work.
See, but he's bringing him in.
Yeah,
he's not going to bring in a head coach that is going to have a big say in personnel.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's tends to be the problem.
Like anytime somebody says Sean Payton, I'm like Sean
Payton's not coming here.
But Sean, yeah.
Sean Payton's going to where he's going to have full control.
Yes, exactly.
Which, by the way, is never good with a coach. You don't want your coach
but,
to have full
some control.
Yeah,
you know that kind of thing.
Nick Caserio, man, approval rating went down with me, Spo, last week. Last week was a tough week for me.
You didn't enjoy the 3 minute answer on Davis Mills.
I was fine on that. I'd actually understood that.
It's a long answer.
I wasn't crazy about that one myself.
Some other things, you know. The way the way stuff went down on Wednesday was a clown show. Lovie Smith has made. I mean, he's
not doesn't look great, especially for a guy who's been a head coach in the NFL and in college for
and
as long
knew,
as he is.
And he knew what his role was going to be here.
And he knew the questions were coming. And you just sometimes you just got to bear through it and smile and answer it the best that you can. And yeah, you're going to get annoyed by these people a lot of times, but. Just deal with it.
That's what the fans want to know, man.
Yeah.
They're asking questions for the fans. They're not asking questions to make you comfortable, sir.
That's a great way to put it.
You and your 5 winning seasons in 17.
And by the way, Nick Caserio brought him in to be the punching bag.
That's like, what an NFL head coach is. That's
well,
what
brought him in to be the voice. I don't know about the punching bag, the voice.
Well, if it came to this, and it did, the punching bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Came down to it. And what else were you going to do?
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's go talk to your agent.
Who
How many
else
offers did you
hire
have?
Him?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
How many interviews did he get? How many interviews did he have after Illinois to be a head coach?
I don't know. I heard that was an Easter Bee thing, though. Lovie did have a little more Easter Bee, but who knows? I don't know. He's here. It is what it is. Spo, appreciate you. Happy that you and Jeff Bagwell vibe as much as
all.
I would love to just like talk to Jeff Bagwell about baseball for an
you
hour.
You would love it.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
You would love it.
That was a humble brag. That wasn't like.
Oh, I know it was.
Yeah, he was just humble bragging. Yeah, you'd love it.
Okay. I believe the words I said were you would love it.
Yeah, but you're just basically just saying, yeah, I've done it.
No, based on experience.
That's you saying that, and that's you saying it.
No, but that's what you're saying.
We know the
I said you would love it.
No, that's a brag. Just admit it. It's cool. It's cool.
Lasagna.
Talk to Jeff Bagwell.
You would love it.
That's not even the same thing. It's okay to brag, John. You've got your experience. I'm just making it clear as a brag. It wasn't like a, oh, I
But I wasn't bragging. I just said you would love it.
Yeah, but you were just saying, yeah, I've been there. Trust me.
You guys need to bump McClain. Next week, you need to bump McClain and get Bagwell in here.
That would be sweet. That would be very sweet.
Would you rather have Bagwell than McClain?
Give him a call. 100%.
Okay, there we go. Baseball Spo, appreciate you.
See y'all next week.
There you go. Right. Deshaun Watson, by the way, if you're just tuning in, not going to meet with the media, but have no fear. In the Loop role play is here. John Lopez is going to put on his journalist hat.
Oh, God.
He's going to ask the questions that need to be asked, and I am going to represent Deshaun Watson, and I'm going to answer the questions the way Deshaun should answer them. Little dangerous role play coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so Deshaun Watson, supposed to meet with the media today. At least the starting quarterback for the Browns typically does. Not on the list. He's not meeting. His business guy, Brian Burney, replied to Jake Trotter with just a wah when Jake said that Deshaun was not meeting with the media. Shout out to Burney, though. He's doing a good job with NIL deals. He really is. He just needs to stay out of the sticking your chest out too crazy for Deshaun Watson. Doesn't help him out. But as far as NIL deals, good God, he's doing well. You got Bijan Robinson freaking mustard. They got Bijan Robinson wings at Pluckers now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In Austin.
No. Houston.
Everywhere?
Shepherd. Top of the menu.
Get out of here.
I didn't even see that.
I know.
I'll really? Show you.
I was just there.
No, it's at the very top. The Shepherd one actually ran out. Let me show you.
Dang.
Saw the picture. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Yeah, he had that. He had his own mustard section at the.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Fair.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, insane. You didn't try that, huh, Fig? Or you're not.
Nah, I didn't see it.
Hold on, I got it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hot Honey Bijan.
I like that.
You know what? I do remember that. I do remember that because I was about to try it.
And it has his name on it right there.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Burney helping out with that. So I got to give him some credit with that. I don't know if you're going to be able to get Deshaun Watson some mustard contracts. I mean, you won't even send him to the podium. And in the spirit of that, John, I want you to put the journalism hat on. I want you to ask the questions that need to be asked. And I'll answer them like Deshaun should answer them. Because I think he would want me speaking for him. I think I can handle
Deshaun would want you speaking
for
him.
I could handle it. I could handle it better than he has.
Well, he hasn't said anything.
Well, he has in the past. I could do a better job than Deshaun has there.
Deshaun?
Yes?
I'll ask the generic question first.
Okay.
How do you feel you're going to approach and handle returning to Houston after everything that happened?
I've always loved Houston. I think Houston's a great city. I had some good years there. Obviously, things didn't go according to plan. I'm a member of the Cleveland Browns now, and it's going to be fun to return to that stadium. A lot of memories, and I'm just ready to go out there and play some ball.
You say you've always loved Houston. Why haven't you acknowledged that until just then?
What do you mean?
You haven't acknowledged the fans of Houston.
See, you ask what do you mean to get more time to think about
what
you're
going to say. I'm in the business. That's why I asked a very short question.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
You heard the question.
What was it?
You heard the question.
I love Houston. You know, obviously there was a lot of stuff going on. I couldn't say a lot of things.
Lots
that
of
I wanted
fans?
To say. Well, I was busy.
We're busy.
I had some stuff going on.
Deshaun, it took you a while to acknowledge remorse for whatever it was that happened. Where do you stand on that right now? Are you still remorseful for your actions?
I think everything in life is a learning experience. You try to get better each day. And, you know, have
can,
I made
can
some,
I stop you real quick? Are you still remorseful?
Have I made... I've made some mistakes in the past. Obviously, there's...
Nick, I mean, Deshaun... Are you still remorseful?
I've never harassed anyone. I've never done anything bad to anyone.
Lovey, I mean, Deshaun, are you remorseful, though, is the question.
For what?
For the situation you put yourself and others in and your organization.
I don't ever want to harm anyone. I don't ever want to treat anyone bad. God, no wonder he's not going up to the podium.
Yeah.
God, I'm starting to kind of feel for
you're
the Browns.
Sweating.
Oh, Lord.
Deshaun, there's going to be 10 accusers in a suite with Tony Busby at the Houston Texans game on Sunday. What do you think of that? And
no
how,
comment.
And how do you feel?
No comment.
That you should.
No comment.
No comment?
No comment.
You're not doing well, Deshaun. What was the biggest reason you wanted to leave Houston?
Jack Easterby. Dude's a creep. I didn't want to be around him. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. You could tell that the organization was just heading in
the wrong
direction.
Now, that's a good answer, Deshaun.
They didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. And quite honestly, at this point in my career, it's very important for me to surround myself with an organization that functions like a good organization. And I didn't feel like the Texans were functioning like a very good organization.
Very good. Thank you. So I'd like to circle back to something else and maybe get that same clarity.
Can you give us some clarity, because you didn't earlier, on 10 accusers watching you play on Sunday from a suite with Tony Busby?
No comment.
Deshaun, have you paid your overdue rent for Lefty's Restaurant?
We just opened a new location up here.
Have you paid your overdue rent, though, for the ones in Houston that were shut down?
No comment.
Deshaun, what about facing some of your former teammates, particularly, there's only a handful, but being back in that stadium and facing your former teammates?
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be competitive. Every time I go on the football field, I try to be legendary. Had some good times with a lot of these guys. Still friends with a lot of these guys in the locker. Shout out to Brandon Cooks. Talked to him last night for about 30 minutes about how crappy the Texans are. It's going to be fun to see some of these guys.
Have you been a servant leader over the last year and a half?
Why wouldn't I be?
Well, there's been some things going on that I know you're quite familiar with.
I'm always trying to be a servant leader. The thing about being a servant leader is sometimes you're not always going to do things perfect, but it's always about getting better each day.
You're really not doing a very good job here, Deshaun. Actually, maybe you are, because you're avoiding everything. So you're not, you have not admitted remorse today.
Look, I feel bad for any harm that I've done to anybody. That's never been my intention. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get my butthole rubbed.
Do you still get massages?
I do.
From?
People.
Male or female?
Personal choice that I don't want to get into.
You don't think that's a little bit strange?
How are your upper thighs?
Solid, good to go.
Yeah?
Haven't played football in 700 days in a regular season game.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be rusty?
Rusty?
It's not a crime.
Rusty?
Yeah.
God, that sumbitch is expensive.
Occasionally there was a happy ending.
How much do you think that bill was, for real?
I think it's still going on.
Well, yeah, because there's still an accuser. How much do you think Rusty's made from Deshaun?
Help us out. 713-572-4610. I don't know what
Rusty's made. Shout out to all the lawyers.
Sam will know rough way.
Don't compare your price to what Rusty's doing. Don't give me that.
Rusty isn't doing...
He's a little more expensive than you.
He isn't doing $500 an hour.
How much do you think? A mil?
$1,500 an hour.
You think it's a mil?
Oh, it's easily a million.
You think the legal stuff's a mil by now?
Easily a million.
Man, that's expensive. Yeah. How much do you think the settlements were?
Well, what were they reported to be? A hundred and something?
Not much for a little bit, and then there. I don't know. I just don't know why he didn't speak.
This is Sean weak, talk. Man.
He'll talk tomorrow or Friday, probably.
No, this is weak.
But would you rather him talk Friday? By the way, did you hear what Lovie Smith said?
He said a couple of things that were eyebrow raisers. Give me yours first.
He was asked about facing extra men in the box, and Lovie Smith said that facing an extra defender in the box is, quote, life in the NFL for a running football team. But they still have to find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
I think he meant life in the NFL for a team with bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
Because not every running team is facing an extra man in the box.
Especially if you have a good quarterback.
Defense feels threatened.
Yeah. No, I agree. He also said this, according to Aaron Wilson. He said, defending the Browns and standout wide receiver Amari Cooper with Derek Stingley sidelined. He said, quote, it will be a challenge without Derek. You just gave the Browns a competitive advantage. You did. He was a week ago
today. What if
he's
lying? What if Stingley's going to play?
He didn't practice today. A week ago today. I can't talk to you about that.
The starting lineup?
I don't want to give a competitive advantage. And then a week later, he's saying, yeah, Derek Stingley ain't playing.
I told you, he can't follow what he says.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Lovie Smith. Like, he gets mad and he can't follow what he says. It's hard for him.
I can't tell you the guys that. Give the Dolphins a competitive advantage. All right. Why are you saying Derek Stingley's not going to play?
Maybe he reevaluated the competitive advantage thing. Maybe they talked to Lovie and they said, hey, dude, that's not the best mindset. It's kind of old and dated.
Yeah.
So maybe you just need to stop. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe they just need a whole new direction. And then you were talking about Deshaun Watson not speaking today. I don't understand why more organizations don't just have a common sense executive. They just sit in their office. I'll do it. I'll just sit in the office, and any time you make a decision,
that's you think you could be that guy?
I could be the common sense executive.
I feel like if we were the common sense executives, I feel like the Texans would have avoided a lot of headaches.
Yes,
the last few years.
Like they came, and let's say they just knocked on my door this morning.
Now Browns. I do think Jack Easterby lowers that, although last Wednesday was bad.
Yeah,
but I also someone ran through the stop sign there.
Absolutely,
it was either Lovey or it was Casario.
Yeah, but let's say the Browns knock on my door.
Or
and
both.
And it's either the Browns or Deshaun Watson's people, and they say, hey, we're not going to talk today. As common sense executive, I would tell them, are you insane? Are you insane? You have to talk. Number one, get it out of the way. Number two, you make the Browns and Deshaun Watson look awful or worse. Number three, it's only going to be worse and more intense whenever you do talk, and you will have to talk. And number four, you're going to put other people out there to speak for you. The Browns are speaking right now. Who were they? Nick Chubb and a couple of other players.
Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, and Jeremiah something.
I'd like to hear some of that because you know what they're going to be talking about today?
Deshaun
Watson. Kevin Stefanski is going to talk after the players. You know what he's going to be talking about today?
Deshaun Watson.
That's weak. The common sense executive should say, are you insane? Get your ass out there. Get through it, and we'll move on.
Join the drive with Sterner and Hughley at the Stadium Bar in Spring for a Miller Lite Football Friday from 2 to 6. Hang out with the guys, have some great food and cold drinks, and get ready for Deshaun Watson's return to Houston on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Coming up, the hits are lit. Jeff Bagwell, my goodness, he says the Astros ain't done yet. And the college football playoff, the scenarios, they're running wild. What is the most intriguing scenario to us? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, The Athletic is putting out something really, really silly. Tell me how crazy you guys think this is on a scale of 1 to 10. It's about Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Tom Brady potentially returning to the New England Patriots next year and the Patriots trading Mac Jones this offseason. Maybe it's a long shot. There might be better situations. But just when you think you've got Belichick figured out, he does something no one sees coming. So they're throwing it out there. Is Tom Brady really going to play football next year too?
No.
What do you mean? Why not? What's holding him back? He doesn't have a wife.
He's deteriorating as a player. The game is talking to him. We never thought it would happen. And we predicted it probably 10 years ago. But it is happening. And why would he go back to the Patriots?
They're 6-5. Belichick's actually coached his ass off this year.
He has.
He's coached his ass off. No, why not?
The Patriots want him?
Is he better than Mac Jones?
I mean, I think so.
Dude, they got better weapons.
There's that, too. This is just, this is not reported, right? This is
no,
just like,
it's just,
what if?
Yeah.
Yeah. I say, what if no? what if it's not going to happen?
I don't think he's going to retire.
I do.
Mm-hmm. So he's just going to, just this 1 year, his wife is gone?
Well, that probably
he might as well keep playing if he lost his wife at this point.
If he was going to try to play until he's 50 at this point,
you
what's
think
holding
the Bucks
back?
Want him back?
I don't know. Someone would. What if Nick Caserio decides that he's just going to give Tom Brady a 3-year contract at 50?
Tom Brady to the Texans.
The Nick Caserio, like, Patriot way. At, like, 47, Nick Caserio decides he wants to bring Tom Brady in.
Ed Reed would say that's a bad move.
What if Tom Brady runs out of options and this is his only spot?
He retire.
I've been saying that for 3 years, John.
Well, we all have.
Retire. You make it sound so simple with Tom Brady retiring.
Retire. There's nothing left.
He did. But then he unretired.
There's nothing left.
He loves football. He's just one of those
guys. Okay, love football, retired.
Do you think Nick Caserio respects Tom Brady?
Absolutely.
Well, he doesn't realize that there's more important things than football. So you think maybe that's like a knock for Nick Caserio for Tom Brady? Maybe. Do you think he ever told Tom Brady that?
Yeah.
Like
hey,
when Tom Brady was skipping Giselle's birthday party to go to like New England, do you think Nick Caserio ever like after hours
hey,
went
man,
up to
Tom, you, hey, man, should, you should just go.
You really need to know this, yeah. man. Like there's more important things than football.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom.
He's in there at 4 a.m., Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, look, we got a big one, but.
Yeah, just take a step back.
It's more important things than football.
Just take a breather.
I would actually respect if you told him that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the.
But he just tells the wounded football fans of Houston that aren't showing up to the stadium.
And also,
when am I going to let this go?
Well, here's the thing.
I'm talking about myself. When am I going to let this go?
You know what I'm
saying?
You know what I'm
saying? It's funny. I, it's not an act.
I don't think you're going to let this go.
You know damn well it's not an act.
No.
You ain't going to let this go.
I want
to. Did you let the 9-to-5ers go?
With Deshaun?
Yeah. You ain't let that go.
Okay. But I want to root for Nick. I like the people in the building. I want to let this go. I just cannot. I thought it was really out of touch, and I think there are a lot of stuff that led me to believe he's a little bit out of touch.
Would he? Here's why I think you're not going to let it go, and here's why I don't mind it. I don't mind it because you thought, I thought, and maybe Figgy thought, you were kind of on an island in terms of that bothering you so much. The reality is you're not. Like a lot of loopholes. We were talking to Sean today, not to put words into his mouth, but I think you know that kind of hit him the wrong way. A lot of people, Spillane, others, like, why is he doing that? And then here's the second, I think, most important part. Would Nick Caserio have done that?
In New England.
No. This is even more important. If the Texans, instead of being 1-9-1, were 9-1-1?
No.
Not a chance.
No. And I think
not
there's
a chance.
And the thing is, there's a sense of like an ivory tower. And it goes back to Easterby where you're doing a lot of things crappy and you're not necessarily being judged by results, which I'm not judging you by results either, but When you're not being judged by results, you've done some questionable things. You can't 100%. The other thing about this is I can't 100% allow myself to trust somebody when it comes to making decisions for the Houston Texans, especially when they have those types of ties. Because Bill O'Brien was trusted 100%. Jack Easterby was trusted 100%. You can't trust someone 100% in this situation to do stuff. And when they're on the ivory tower and they're saying who's good at their job, what something's wrong, but you're not specifying it, and then you say there's more important things. I get on the surface what you're trying to say, but it just came across as smug, unnecessary, ridiculous, especially on Thanksgiving, especially with the situation that the team is in. I want to get over it, and I want to just be able to wipe the slate clean. But it just seems like a context clue of maybe like a bigger picture of like lack of accountability, delusional, all that type of stuff that we fear. And that we've seen in the past when it comes to the Texans organization.
I think it's a different version of what Jack Easterby used to do when things were at their worst for him. What would he always tweet out? Some sort of verse.
It all matters. Like, you know,
but some sort of verse about like
leadership.
Don't listen to people who are hating you. And it would be a verse, though. You know, have the faith in what you're doing, and weak people are going to bark at you and all this other stuff. It's a different version of that. It's deflective. It's like, okay, so maybe we're 1-9-1, but you know, a lot of more things are important than this. Would you say it if you were 9-1-1 in that context?
I think it's even deeper because it's also like, we don't need to be told that, man. Like,
exactly.
People are aware. Like, this isn't like if Nick Saban went on his Alabama Weekly Radio hit, by the way, it'd be dumb to do, and I don't know that he would. He might. But if Nick Saban, with 100,000 waiting outside to go see you play, with basically year-round suspense, with, like, the entire pride of the city, like, if name an NFL franchise, Kansas City Chiefs, like, if Patrick Mahomes wanted to say that or something like that, I would get it. The football soul in this city has been crushed, man.
That's what I'm saying. It's deflective. It's absolutely deflective. It's like I'd buy it more and be down with it more if you were 9-1-1.
Well, it'd also be down. I mean, if Tom Brady had that mindset, you wouldn't have this gig.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not a great message.
Yeah.
But Let's play the hits. Hopefully I'll get over it soon.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I really want to get over this.
It'll be a while.
Someone was talking to me after the show, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if Nick Caserio is going to be so happy to see you next time. I'm not happy to see his ass. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? He's not going to be happy to see me. I'm not happy to see you. Tell my audience there's more important stuff. We know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be happy to see you either, sir.
Tell me who's good and not good in our business. You know, some people are good.
Just say Tom Pelissero. Yeah. And the other thing was Easterby has said that multiple times. That was another thing that bothered me.
Yes.
Here's Jeff Bagwell on things the Astros may need moving forward as the offseason continues.
What would you say are the most important things left to do right now?
Well, I think if you look at left field, there's obviously something we're going to think about. But I want Yordan to play, 45-50% of the games in left field. I think it's good for him. I think mentally it's good. He enjoys it. So that's important. So there's going to have to be some way we figure out, left fielder, switch DH, first base. You can use the DH a lot in this, but I need Yordan to play about 45% of the games.
Jim mentioned catching up there. You guys view Maldonado as your – I mean, you guys have Maldonado and Lee and a lot of upper-level depth.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you guys view that going forward?
Well, we have Lee and Diaz. Mm-hmm. I personally have not seen enough of them to make a decision on either one of those two. I know what we have in
I haven't had a
Maldi,
chance to
which
really
is one
make
of the
a
best
decision
teammates
yet.
And all about winning, as I've seen. Everything he does is about winning, and I love Maldi. But there's always room for upgrades. We just got to figure out where we're going. I don't want to hear windows. I want to be every single year we got a chance to win. So that's how we have to base our decisions on long-term. Short-term, but long-term in the back of your minds. Like, how are we going to be in not just 3 years, 5 years, 7, 10?
God, I love hearing him talk. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty funny.
He knows his stuff, and he has great insight on all these things.
It's amusing, to say the very least. And it's intriguing. And he is a legend. And he does care about the organization. I thought that was a good point by Spo. He cares about the organization. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson, by the way, he was supposed to speak today. That's typically when the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback speaks. No, he's not.
He's not.
So who knows what happens? Will we hear from him this week? Will the first time we hear from him be post-game press conference? Who knows? But that's just where we're at. We thought we were going to hear from him. Have not. College football playoff. We have these scenarios right in front of us. USC creeps into the top four. How about that?
Good.
What is your wild scenario here? Let's say that either USC or TCU loses.
Alabama. It's going to happen.
You're such a blowhard.
No, I don't want it to happen. No, I'm anti this happening.
Oh, my God. They're going to get in with two losses and Ohio State has one?
Yep. Would you want Ohio State in the playoff?
I mean, it's not about who I want. It's about who deserves to be in.
Yeah.
Alabama, they're not that much better than Ohio State to where their two losses is and the SEC's not that good this year either.
I'm not arguing with you. You asked what would happen and what would be the wild scenario.
So you're telling me with a straight face that Alabama gets in over Ohio State. You're on crack, John.
No, I'm not. I think they do.
Who was on crack?
This is SEC right here.
No, it's
not. I don't ever want to turn into this. I don't ever want to turn into this, Fig.
Landry, what are the current rankings?
The current rankings mean nothing after the heading into the final week, though. We know that. They can do whatever they want.
Well,
the committee from week to week, they can do whatever they want.
I don't know if that's
We've seen
true.
That.
I don't know about
We've
that.
We've seen that. They can do whatever the hell they want.
You asked me what would be the wild... I'm telling you, you can call me.
You're not even saying like it's wild. You're saying that Alabama gets in over Ohio State.
Yes.
There will be an absolute.
I'm saying.
There will be chaos and insanity.
Landry, I would hate it. I would think it's undeserved. I don't want it. But you asked me what would be the wild scenario. Right now, it's Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC. Number five is Ohio State. They looked awful.
They did.
They got run.
And they really haven't looked that good this year. Although they were winning by double-digit points before the last game.
Number six is Alabama, man. True loss to Alabama.
Okay.
Would you rather have Tennessee? Tennessee beat Alabama.
They're done. They don't have their quarterback, and I would factor that in.
Would you rather have Penn State?
Blech. No, it's going to be – I would give it to Ohio State.
It's going to be Alabama. Okay.
You know what? This is why this large college football playoff is so dumb, too. Mm-hmm. Like, listen to these teams we're arguing about, and you want eight more of those? Ugh.
I think it'd be fun, though.
That's nasty. That's fine. We can have fun.
Yeah.
I'll have fun no matter what. You put college football in front of me, I'm going to have some fun.
As a playoff game, it'd be more fun.
Watch this, though. You know what else is fun? Mm. Whiskey talk.
Whiskey talk is fun.
Next chance to win right now.
The holiday season is here, and another Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk with Sean Pendergast holiday special is coming next Tuesday. Be caller number 5 right now, and you and a guest will be joining us at this exclusive event. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 to 713-572-4610, and you're on your way to the Yellow Rose Distillery for our special holiday whiskey talk next Tuesday night.
All right, two more chances to win over the course of a season. J-Lo, did you cry last night or something?
Why?
Because you've got more confessions on this damn run sheet than I've ever seen in my entire life.
Today.
Are you feeling?
You need to go to church.
What is wrong with you?
I'm in a mood.
It's
going to
be a crazy confession.
Need to see a priest.
Coming up at 12:20. Man's got a whole damn line of that. Looks like a Walgreens receipt or something like that.
I think I left some on the cutter. CVS.
God looking down like, damn.
Lopez has a lot of confession at 12:20.
I mean, Jerry Jones, that's going to be part of the confessions.
Okay, we'll get to we'll get to that coming up at 12:20. But coming up next, Deshaun Watson isn't speaking. What the hell is going on? We'll try to get to the bottom of that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.